Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Barr on Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Katie McLean, and I'm on Stardish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hey, this is Sydney Penny, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Stay tuned.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is October 21st, 2008, and I am your host, Joanne. The call-in number is 347-945-5423, so make sure you participate in the chat as well as on the phone. Also, make sure you download and rate the show once we're finished. I told you, those ratings really count. Tonight is a doubleheader for Stardish. I want you to come back at 10 p.m., to chat with actor-director Gregory J. Martin, who has written and directed The Manhattanites, which starred many of ABC Daytime's finest, as well as Jack Rio, starring Matt Borlanke. And he just finished a project with actor Stephen Bauer, whose most famous role is Scarface. So make sure you come back at 10 to check him out. I'm bringing Brandon on the line. Hi, Brandon. Hang on, okay?
Okay.
And Tony.
Tony. Brandon? Yes.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Brandon. How about you, man?
Pretty good.
Okay, guys. The very embodiment of tall, dark, and handsome, he was a journeyman actor in his native Quebec throughout the early 70s before deciding to cross the border to try to make it in the States. Guest shots and a host of television movies, as well as in hits of the day like T.J. Hooker and The Greatest American Hero, quickly followed, as did memorable bit parts on The Doctors, As the World Turns, The Edge of Night. In 1985, he took on what would become his signature American role as All My Children's dashing, mysterious, monk-turned-thrill-seeker Jeremy Hunter, and became an instant soap sensation in part he would play for over a decade. His leading ladies included some of the most distinguished actresses in the business, from Susan Lucci to Kate Collins, Lisa Peluso to Nancy Addison, to the legendary Jeannie Francis. In 92, as part of a groundbreaking experiment, which would lead to establish a solid connection among each of ABC's daytime dramas, his character moved to Loving, which he stayed with until the show was canceled in the fall of 95. Now, back in Canada and working steadily, he has very graciously taken time out of his busy schedule to join us here on Stardish to reminisce about the role that made him a daytime megastar. Please give a warm bienvenue to the fabulous Jean Leclerc.
Hello, Joanne.
Hi, Jean.
Hi.
Brandon, Tony.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm very well, and you?
I'm doing very well. It's quite exciting to talk to you. I've been a fan of yours for quite a while.
All right, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas.
Oh, lovely Texas.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, John. This is Tony. I'm contacting you from Chicago, Illinois. How are you, my friend?
I'm very well.
Very good.
So, John, catch me up to date on what's been going on since you left daytime in the States.
I basically came back to Canada because I was some work to be done on stage, mm-hmm. and I by the same token I began to direct plays, and I found it was I didn't know that I had that passion.
Mm-hmm.
during that time, I also did some movies up here in Canada and some television, but nothing as how should I say, as poignant as the time when I was at All My Children and Loving, because, mm-hmm. as you know, this is a very arduous work.
Mm-hmm.
And those were great, great times, great days. And I haven't watched the show much, so I don't know if Susan Lucci is still in trouble. And if it's time for the character to come back and save her one more time.
I think Susan needs all the help that she can get. I should say Erica needs all the help that she can get. She's got herself embroiled with Adam Chandler again.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, she's embroiled with Adam Chandler again, and they just currently ran another a tornado that hit Pine Valley.
And the idea is to clean up the city and bring new characters in?
I would think that's their best bet. I don't think anybody would mind a visit from Jeremy.
Especially since they're coming up with their 10,000th episode later next month. And
November 12th.
It would be such a kick for, you know, some of the old-time characters to come back.
I always thought, of course, we cannot really tell the writers or the creators of the show how to write, because, you know, that's their job, and our job is to act. But when I was reflecting some time ago about what happened, you know, supposedly Jeremy died in Corinth, where Loving was happening. But I don't know if you guys remember, but his twin brother appeared at one point.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Gilbert, and of course they are identical twins, and he was very evil. So they're not 100% sure which one died. But what I do remember is when Jeremy was in Pine Valley, he had inherited the fortune of his father, and the fortune of his father equal to about half, I think the father owned half of Canada, so he was immensely rich.
Right.
So I thought it would be fun if, for example, let's say Gilbert, who passes himself for Jeremy, would come back and try to claim this money and create havoc in Pine Valley. That should be fun.
I think it would be. What do you say, Brandon?
Oh, I think it would be a great kick for all the, you know, all the long-term fans who, you know, I mean, the soaps these days seem to be catering to the young people and the newer fans, but, you know, the older fans are so much more vocal and so much more of a powerful base. It would be a kick for something like that to happen, I think.
Yeah, it would be fun. Is Brooke, the character of Brooke, still in Pine Valley?
Can I tell you what a travesty what they did to poor Julia Barr? They wrote her off the canvas without even as much as a exit scene. They dropped her down to recurring status, and we never saw her again. How many months has it been? I mean, gosh, it's been quite some time.
It's probably been a couple years by now, or a year and a half, anyway.
Was it her decision or the network?
No, it was not.
It wasn't her decision. It was the network's. I had her on the show not too long after they did that. And, you know, I mean, there's only so much you can say about it, you know, without getting yourself into trouble. So it was kind of like, well, it is what it is kind of thing. And, you know, they weren't really giving her any work. They killed Edmund off, and without even as much as an exit scene, you just never saw Brooke again. Nobody knows in Pine Valley whatever happened to Brooke. I mean, her own kid didn't know where she was. They've never, ever mentioned her again.
That's too bad, because she happens to be one of the nicest person I've met in this business.
And one of the finest actresses the business has ever seen. I mean,
And she's a dynamite.
You can put her best work up against anybody's.
Oh, yeah, dynamite of an actress. Absolutely solid on every account.
Last I spoke to her, she was working on a project, an internet-based project with Jill Larson, who plays Opal, and...
Is Jill still on the show?
Yes, she
is. Yeah,
Jill's
still on the show. Yeah, Jill's still on the show.
And Linda Dano. So... They're working on some kind of internet project. She told me, they both told me, I had all three of them on the show, and they all promised as soon as it comes to fruition, they'll let me know, and then we'll get them back on and talk about it.
Please give them my love if you talk to them, because they were very special ladies, and I adore them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Did you mention earlier Felicia Bear? No, you didn't say.
No.
Felicia Bear used to be the producer of All My Children for many years, but I think she's gone now.
Oh,
yeah,
I don't know. Brandon?
Yeah, the last I heard, she was maybe a professor in Manhattan somewhere. Does that sound right?
That's
I know she worked for ABC Daytime in an executive position for a while after leaving and producing. And I believe the last I heard, she was a professor, a college professor nowadays. I could be totally wrong about that, but I think I heard that.
When I last spoke to her, she was the head of daytime television at ABC.
Yeah, after Brian Franz came in 2004, 2003, she left that position and left television completely for a while. And I heard rumored that she's a professor now. So.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because she was asking me when we were last talking in her office, how about going to L.A. and join General Hospital?
Oh.
And I said, well, that would be, I don't know, okay, maybe we'll see how it develops because it's for me it was another move, you know, to go down south, which I love. And I lived 4 years in L.A. It was fine. But it never materialized, so.
Right. Well, General Hospital since then has turned into a mini Sopranos, to speak. It's nothing. It's all mob. It's like a whole mob story. It's all embroiled around the mob. It's not even based on the core family, the Quartermains, anymore the way that it used to be.
What's the name of that character who's kind of like an Al Pacino?
Sonny Corinthos.
I think Sonny Corinthos.
No. Yeah, I think he's kind of Italian.
There was Sonny Corinthos, Frank
Sony,
Smith.
Sonny.
Yeah, Sonny Corinthos. That's the one that's in charge over there now.
Okay. And
he's the main character.
He's the main character. Well, he started, it's so funny, because I remember when the old building of All My Children on 67th and Columbus, and Sonny just arrived at the show, and he was a virgin. He didn't know anything, and we were sharing the same dressing room. And it was so sweet to watch him. He was like a baby.
You're talking about Maurice Bernard.
Maurice.
Okay.
Maurice.
Right. I'm giving you a
Maurice
character name. I'm sorry.
When you play Nico, I think I'm what you're talking about.
He played Nico on All My Children.
Yes,
Maurice, yes.
Maurice, my boy.
Maurice Bernard.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely matured. He's grown, and he took over Port Charles. So.
I see. But then I'm
about. By then I'm about at least 3 or 4 daytime Emmy nomination. I think he won one of those years. I think.
Really?
Yeah.
You see how things fly. It's fun.
Yeah, he's pretty much the core character now that surrounds General Hospital. You know, they don't even focus on the Quartermains anymore or really the hospital. They did do a spinoff called Night Shift, General Hospital Night Shift, that's pretty much focused around the hospital. I think it's really good. It's an hour, and it's got different characters, and it's kind of set like a primetime serial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little bit more racy, and it only airs on SoapNet at night. What's the writer's name, Brandon? I always mispronounce his name.
His name is Sri Rao, and he is an Indian guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. He's a playwright, and he was offered this job to head write Night Shift because Bob Guza was so overworked last year, and it showed on air on both shows, and so ABC Daytime kind of reached outside and offered this guy the chance to write these 13 episodes, and they've been very critically acclaimed. I mean, it's been an interesting journey. They brought back several past characters from General Hospital and kind of built the show around them, and it's been really great.
Is Jeannie still at General Hospital?
She is now. For now,
they keep
playing with her. Yeah, they play with her. You know, they don't give her any contract roles. They bring her back when they want the ratings up. basically, you know, that's what they do. I mean, for Luke and Laura's 25th anniversary, they brought her out of a catatonic state just specifically for that November, and the ratings went through the roof, and then that lasted about a month, and then she relapsed, and she's been gone a year, and she's back again now to help her daughter. So it's sweeps time, ratings will boost again, and then they'll throw her back into a coma or something. From what I understand, well, she'd been living up in Maine. She
She started a country home inn, a cottage store, you know, a home store, linens and stuff
out
like
of,
that.
Out of her house in Maine.
Well, it's not out of her house, but it's in a house. It's like a little cottage, and it's called the Cherished Home.
Oh, really? Because I visited her in at her house in Maine. This is some very, very, very nice house. Very lovely.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I've seen pictures of it, and it's in a house setting. And but from what I understand, when they asked her to come back, she had told them that she would go back permanently if they gave her time off the way that they did with Tony Geary. You know, Tony Geary's got the best job in daytime. You know, he's gone for 6 months, you know, on vacation. And I think that's what she was looking for also, and they just never offered it to her. They only keep bringing her back in little stints here and there. So, you know, from what I understand, though, she did pack up and move out to L.A. to get back into acting because she went and did this whole Metafasting, and she lost, I think, like 40 pounds or something, and she started doing movies for Lifetime and Hallmark channels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So she's, I think, starting to get back into the swing of it down there. She looks fabulous.
Oh, great, great. But she's not in Maine constantly, no?
No, no, not that I know of. From what I'm aware of, is that she relocated for right now to, I guess, get back into the swing of acting back in L.A.
I see.
So, but I know that the store is still being run through Maine. The Cherished Home, it's called.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
How nice.
So,
Guys, how long have you been watching All My Children?
Go ahead, Brandon.
Oh, Lord, I started watching in the fall of 1988. So I'm celebrating my 20th year this year.
Wow. And you're a faithful viewer?
More or less, yeah. One Life to Live is my favorite of the ABC shows, but I check in with all of them pretty regularly, yeah.
Tony?
Well, John, I've been watching the show since the summer of 1990, so I've been on 18 years now.
I started watching when I was 8 years old with my grandmother, so that is 30 years.
Wow.
I mean, could I remember everything that happened? No, not in an instant, but I can't remember what I did yesterday.
The essence of it.
But, yeah, All My Children was a staple in our house. You know, with my grandmother. And my father had a connection to Susan Lucci, which made it a little bit more exciting to watch. He was best friends with her cousin. And we grew up in, you know, I grew up in Yonkers, New York, and that's where she's from, Scarsdale, that area. And it just made it a little bit more special for a young kid to watch and say, oh, I know somebody famous on TV. So it was just always on.
I see.
So, but you do have some fans on the phone. Are you ready to take a call?
Oh, I would love to speak with the fans.
Okay. Hi, you're on the phone with Jean Leclerc.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Jean.
Who's this?
This is Inga. I don't know if you remember me. Way back in the 80s, I used to come to the luncheons that you and Kate used to have at La Maginette.
Yes, absolutely. New York, yes.
Yes, I don't know if you remember. My name's Inga. I'm not sure if you remember me.
Well,
Kate still remembers me.
Keep talking.
I'm trying to think. Because Michelle St. Laurent used to put on the luncheons
absolutely.
At La Maginette.
Yes, she was the president of my fan club.
Right.
Yes.
Are you still in touch with her? Pardon me?
Are you still in touch with her?
Oh, no. I don't think she does any more fan clubs.
No,
for all my children.
Okay.
I talked to Kate occasionally. I was in Chicago a couple years ago, and she was in a show that I went to see.
I see. She works very little. I mean, she's very devoted to her family now.
Yes, she is. Actually,
she has two
she's
beautiful
been
boys.
On, pardon me?
She has two beautiful boys.
Ah.
And she's quite happy, you know. She's she's a gaga mother.
Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm.
She has been back on All My Children.
Yes, sporadically, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she said she says it's so funny. She called me one time and said, "You know what, John? It doesn't change. It's still exactly the same rhythm in the studio. You know, you have a routine. You know."
Mm-hmm.
And many years later, when she returned, she says, "Nothing has changed. All the people who are in the soap are tired. They want to go out. They want to leave. And all the people who are out wants to come in."
Isn't that how it always is?
Yeah, probably.
But it's just wonderful to be able to talk to you again. It's been so long.
It's been so many years, yes. And I'm amazed that we have this connection with Texas and Chicago. And where are you, Inga?
Ohio.
In Ohio, and I'm
in
Canada. And my God, it's wonderful.
John, I'm sure if I step outside and I outside my front yard and I wave to you, you'll probably see me.
Are we that close?
Well, I'm in Buffalo. I'm in Hamburg. I'm right across the lake.
Except that I'm not in Toronto.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I haven't been over there. I'm thinking that everybody could see everybody over there.
Well, you can probably see my shadow. But since I'm in Quebec and outside of Montreal on the Eastern Township, you know.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm at five and a half hours drive from where you are.
Hamburg. Oh, wow, okay.
But still, I can see your shadow.
Yes. I can see Russia from my house. No, I'm only kidding. Bad political joke. Inga, did you have another question?
No, I just wanted to say hi and tell John I've missed him.
I think it's awfully nice of you, and I miss you too.
Well, thank you very much.
And who knows, you know, how the future will reinvent itself.
Hey, Inga, I think you need to use your connections and let's start a writing campaign to get John back on All My Children.
Hey, that sounds like an idea.
You know?
Fun, wouldn't that?
That'd be wonderful. Erica needs a new love interest.
Doesn't she really? It's
she
so
does.
Over with Jack.
I know.
Already. Yeah. I think I'd like a story would have a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Well, you
don't
want an end on a soap opera.
No, but what I mean is after a while, they get not that they get bored, but I mean, I remember when I was about to leave the show that I said, "How many times can I marry and separate from Erica Kane and then from Kate Collins?" It was, you know, it's every 4 years, you know. I mean, I don't know how many weddings did I go through.
Oh, quite a few.
Yeah.
You're asking
so
that
what,
a long
what?
Time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I was only five back then.
I see.
I'm kidding.
So was I.
Mhm. It's funny. I was just watching the other day to refresh my own memory, clips of you on YouTube. If you go on YouTube.com and type in your name, all these videos will come up from All My Children.
And, are you kidding me?
Oh yeah. And I was watching a couple of clips from the episode where you and Erica, you just proposed to Erica. It was about 6 months after your father had passed, and Natalie was in love with you. It was such a nice refresher for me, you know, those who have these memory issues to be able to watch.
Yeah. I remember the storyline because I think Natalie was pregnant by my father.
Right.
And then she pretended it was me that created havoc with Erica, and then my father died. And when Jeremy, being who he was, had to do the right thing and take care of the baby in case, but couldn't understand why since he never slept with her, so it was just so fucking bizarre.
I know. Oh, gosh, but it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good. They were good stories.
Yeah, they definitely were. Oh, wow. Yeah, but yeah, you should try that one time. Just go on YouTube.com and put your name in there, and you'll see all of these things just pop up.
Well, thank you. I think it's awfully nice, and I will do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to move on to another caller. Inga, you're going to stay on the line? I'll keep you on hold so you can listen, or
hey,
can you hear just fine?
I can hear actually today. I actually got able to. I was able to sign on.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad that got resolved.
Nice.
Okay.
Thank you, John. It was great talking to you again.
Great talking to you too, Inga.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Much love to you.
All right. We're going to go over to area code 847. You're on the phone with Jean Leclerc.
Oh, Joanne, thank you so much. This is the first I was able to get through in 2 weeks. So I appreciate
Hi.
This. Mr. John.
Oh, hey, Rita. I'm sorry.
Ah, Rita, thank you. Mr. John, I have
yes.
a question to ask you.
Yes.
Loving was actually my first interest, and my mom and I was off, and in the very first day, Randolph Mantooth, Johnny Gage, was on Loving. I got hooked. And it was also before I received my beautiful gift from my friend, and I had friends helping me on that. So I got totally hooked on Loving. And then All My Children was the Noah and Julia storyline. It was so beautiful and so poignant.
Yeah,
I got hooked on both. So allow me to ask you this question. Please tell me that one scene, that one horrifying, frightening scene when they did the plaster. Please
yes.
tell me you had a porcelain stand-in.
I don't even
want to hear you had a double. I want to hear you had a porcelain stand-in for that.
My no, God. Darling, I did it.
What? They were doing that to you?
Well,
you're being?
We have to be precise now. Before, I would say like a week before the shooting, for 5 days, something like
uh-huh.
that, they created a full body of my body.
Okay.
Made of plaster, you know? I mean, I remember because it took an eternity. I don't know how many hours I was in that room where they cover you with bandages, you know? And then they apply plasters and plaster, and all you can do is breathe through a straw through your mouth. Everything else is closed. And it's extremely claustrophobic. And I said to them, I don't know how long I'm going to last, but at one point, you know, I may just explode because it's quite extraordinary how you're suddenly cut off of the world, of every sound. You suddenly don't hear anything except your own breathing through the straw. It's an amazing experience. But anyway, I managed to do it, and then they removed it. They sliced it in two in the back. I got out of it. And they showed it to me three days later, and I couldn't believe it. It is so strange to look at yourself from the back, from the side, from the left, from the right, from the front. I said, this is what I look like. You don't have any idea, you know. You can look at yourself in the mirror, but you never have a total idea of who you are. So that was absolutely amazing. And but the day they did the shooting, the actual plaster falling on him, it was not the plaster. It was just a grayish liquid that looked
uh-huh.
like plaster. And I'm not 100% sure, but I think they shot it. No, they presented it in slow motion.
Mm.
I don't
uh-huh.
know if you remember them. And that way, so it looked like whatever they were pouring on me looked much thicker than it actually was.
Uh-huh.
And then I walked away, and they put the statue.
Wow.
Holy moly.
That, don't you think that's taking professionalism a little above and beyond?
And then the producer offered me the statue.
Did you take it?
What?
No, I said, no, thank you. Really, I don't think so. Well, what do you do with a 6 foot tall? I mean, I was living in Manhattan then. I said, I'm going to put it in a park or what?
Well, a museum. Somebody would probably pay good money for that.
Yeah.
A little gross, but...
They told me that they have kept it at ABC, And
really?
Yeah, well, that's what I've been told. And the producer said, well, if one day, you know, you have a truck and you're passing by and you want it, it's yours.
Wow.
Okay. Well, let's hope if you come back, they're not going to need to do something so quite dramatic as that.
No,
All My Children doesn't go into such serial, you know, weird, like, oh,
No. All My Children is a realistic show. And
yeah, yeah.
You know, the folks there resemble the folks we know. But the beauty of it is that Jeremy, I don't know if when you start watching Loving, you discovered that Jeremy had a twin brother, a lost
I remember that
brother.
Now. I remember
yeah.
that.
And it's an identical twin. And the thing was that officially it was Jeremy who's been killed, but they're not 100% sure it was him, because his brother had escaped from prison and he wanted to take revenge on his brother Jeremy. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And someone was there. Someone got killed. It's one or the other. But if Jeremy was if Gilbert was the mean one or the son of a bitch, you know, you can always redeem yourself and become a good person.
This is
well,
true.
Let's hope the mean one was the one that got killed. Or do you have, or did you have fun playing the mean one a little bit that you could redeem yourself?
I had a great time, because suddenly everything that Jeremy was not able to do, suddenly in my eye I could see, I could do it. And it was very funny, because when I began doing the split screen and doing the two characters, you know, at ABC on 66th Street, the studios are parallel on the same floor, on the third, on the first ground. Excuse me, not on the ground, on the first level down. And All My Children is taped on one side and Loving on the other side. So we can all mix when we go in the elevators, you know, going to our dressing rooms. And I remember Susan Lucci coming to me. She says, I love Jeremy. I love Gilbert. He's so mean.
Didn't you have something with Angela Hubbard at one time, too?
Yes.
I thought I remembered right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you just got around.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, I wonder why you want to come back. Angie's back.
Yes.
Come stir some stuff up over there, too.
Well, yeah, we need some stirring up, because she found out today, Joanne, she found out today that girl
Natalia.
Is just these, Natalia, yes. Well,
it's
she's in the hospital.
Daughter.
She's in the hospital.
Right, yeah, I didn't get to watch it yet, so I'm a little behind.
Yeah.
Well,
but I watched
the actor.
I know what you're talking about.
Power. What's that?
But if you prefer Mr. John, if you prefer playing him, you know, I mean, I have friends writing for me. I'm computer illiterate, so I don't know how to, I have to get on a.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have a privilege. We have a very huge blessing. Not only do they allow us to give our opinions, but they encourage us to make suggestions. So
oh, really?
That's why I like ask, you know, I like with Joanne blessing us with being able to talk to you on the radio. That's why I kind of like to ask your opinion, because we could write it in.
Well,
absolutely.
You probably have more power than we do. You know, as actors, we are asked simply to deliver the lines that are written for us. But to influence,
right.
You guys have more power. And apparently, when I remember my days when I was there, how they valued what the fans have to say, what they want, what would be next, what could be interesting for them.
Mm-hmm. I don't want you to feel too bad about Loving. I have a feeling, and I don't want to say this. I have a feeling Loving and City didn't survive, and it had nothing to do with the acting or the writing or the storylines. I think it was, and I never watched the thing that it was put up against, but I think it had something to do with the time spot that it was up against. Because I didn't see, I found it so much more interesting. I never watched the thing that's number one all the time.
You see, we were 12:30 to 1 loving.
Mm-hmm.
And it was direct competition with the news elsewhere.
Right.
No, it was direct competition with Young and the Restless.
In some markets it was newscast, but yeah, in Chicago, yeah, definitely it was Young and the Restless.
Yeah, and that,
and Young and the Restless has been number one for quite so many decades. I never even watched it out of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the news. And I watch the soap opera trivia. I'm an ABC. I'm a very loyal ABC person.
Hey,
it was Loving and the City and All My Children is the one that I got hooked on. And
but you're
and then I started watching One Life and General Hospital followed that.
Yeah. But you're right. It had nothing to do with the characters or the storylines or the ability to act it. They had a slot problem, and they didn't know how. Because for a very long time, the saying was that they were going to bring All My Children into an hour and a half show. That's what they were planning to do.
Let's be glad they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I would hate for Young and the Restless to cancel All My Children. I'd love to see it as an hour and a half.
Mm.
Because a lot of those characters blended in with All My Children.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if now, which I have no idea what the ratings are these days.
Brandon.
They're not too good.
They're not too good.
No.
They're right down towards the bottom, almost the bottom of the feed. There's barely turning water right now.
Truly, I'm so sad to hear that.
Yeah, All My Children's in the toilet right now. They did bring on a new writer from General Hospital, Charles Pratt, and to try and help pull it out of the slump that it's in. But I don't know, it's not getting the reviews that I think that they were hoping for.
Was it a tornado when Julia Santos got that scar and met Noah? Was
that
a tornado or something?
10 years ago or something, yeah.
96, 95, 90, around the time Loving was.
94.
Hmm. Yep. Yeah. Rita, I'm going to put you on hold for a second. I got another caller. I want to see
you.
You
will
okay?
Let me listen? You will let me listen to
this
whole
thing,
we'll
let you listen, Rita.
You
thank you
that,
for letting me through. I couldn't talk to you guys for 2 weeks. What happened?
I don't know. I really, I hadn't had a show in a couple of weeks, really, you know.
Hey, Rita.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so just hold on the line, okay?
Thank you.
All
right.
Okay, come on.
Okay, area code 866. Who am I speaking with?
Ew.
Hello?
Caller, you're on air.
Are we telephone shy?
I guess
so. Okay,
next
you can
call.
Hang up and call back then. No problem. Brandon, you had a couple questions for Jean.
Yeah, I was wondering, Jean, whose idea, if you know whose idea it was for you to cross Jeremy from All My Children to Loving, and how that whole idea came about, because it was pretty groundbreaking at the time. There weren't, nowadays it's kind of, routine for crossovers to happen, but back then it really wasn't, and I was wondering how the whole thing came about.
I believe I was the first one, because prior to going to Loving, I also went to One Life to Live. I did some episodes there. And the idea was to keep the audience hooked on ABC from 12:30 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4:30, whatever, depending where it was, or 5 o'clock. So they were trying to imagine how a character, cosmopolitan character like Jeremy Hunter, could swim from one show to the next, and the people, you know, would like to follow him through the afternoon. The problem that they had with that was the restriction of the storylines, because no one is in the same storyline in every show.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You see? So everybody, it was hard to create a storyline that would match the existing storyline with a character that would come in with his. For example, what I was doing on One Life to Live is I was searching for a painting, a famous painting that was immensely valuable. And, of course, the painting, when you looked at it, looked like nothing. You needed to wash what was painted over the real painting. And so that was the device on how to bring him everywhere. But when it was time to go to L.A. On One Life to Live, you know, we were really juggling, well, if we fly Jean and he spends 3 days there, I could probably tape 5 or 6 shows in advance, all my scenes, but the writers were uncomfortable with that. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened when I was doing both All My Children and Loving at the same time, prior to moving there. The main reason was they thought that a likable character like Jeremy sent to Loving was mainly to boost the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And when my storylines were over at All My Children, they say, well, would you accept a 3-year contract at Loving and do the best to save the show? Knowing, but with the understanding that it's an extremely difficult slot.
Mm-hmm.
So they came up with the idea, we will create his twin, evil twin brother, and we'll play to that. Did I answer your question?
Yes, absolutely. Well, it seemed like a great success. How did you enjoy working on the show?
I loved it. It was when, I will tell you a secret, when I was called to audition for the part of Jeremy Hunter, I was living in California. And my background is more the theater, right? I had done Broadway and so on and so forth. So I was like an imbecile. I had no idea I had no idea who was Erica Kane.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who was Susan Lucci. So they said, well, she's the queen of daytime television, and you're going to be auditioning with her because you're going to be her new love interest. Oh, okay. And I flew in from L.A., and I remember being at the studios and waiting to do a screen test with her. And I was in the middle of the studios, and then came in that tiny, tiny little woman. And she says, oh, this is the queen of daytime soap opera. And it was Susan Lucci, and we became fast friends, and the audition went very well. The description of the character was amazing. On paper, it says, tall, blonde, all-American with a British background. Everything I am not. And I also remember that there were about 10 guys who were also auditioning for the part, screen testing, and they were all tall, blonde GQ guys. And I truly said, what the hell am I doing here? Why do they pay my trip to New York, and why is that? And the producer said, pay no attention to the details. Just do the scene. And I did the scene, and I remember that they were in a rush to cast Jeremy Hunter. And I think I auditioned a Thursday, and prior to the audition, they said, we're going to have to make our mind very fast, and whoever wins the part has to be ready to start working on Monday. I said, okay. But I need to know if I have the part. I'm not going to stick around if I don't get the part. So after the audition, I remember I was sleeping in New York that night. Mm-hmm. And the next morning I talked to whoever was the casting director then, and they told me that they hadn't made up their mind. I said, okay. And I said, And they said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to be in the first plane back to L.A.
Oh,
but you can't do that. You know, you can't do that. You start on Monday. I said, well, do I have the job or I do not? If I have the job, I'm staying. But if I don't, I came in for one day. I need a suitcase. I need my personal things, you know, so on and so forth. So the idea was, in their mind, the casting of Jeremy was to be a very, very important character in their show at that time. And they needed the approval of so many people. Some people were Agnes Nixon, of course. Some people were out of Chicago and some out of New York. And they only had the Friday, meaning the weekend was like in their was not helping them, and they could not reach the head writer then, whoever he was, wherever he was then, the people of Chicago, the people of New York, Agnes Nixon in Connecticut, in order to have a consensus that everybody would say, yes, we found him. They told me after my audition, this is him, this is Jeremy, we just found Jeremy, but they need the approval of everyone.
Mm.
So that part I didn't know, so I simply said, well, ta-ta, if you need me, you know where I am,
right.
Call me in L.A. And they called me in L.A. on Monday morning. When can you come in? Do I have the part? Yes, you have the part. Okay. I said, I'm not blonde.
But you were a breath of fresh air to the daytime scene. I mean, you were nothing like what the heroes in daytime looked like at that time, and it was really a breath of fresh air.
Well, thank you very, very much.
And if I'm not mistaken, that's the reason they cast Susan Lucci also. She had said that she wasn't a typical blonde-haired, blue-eyed actress. She's very ethnic-looking and, you know, dark hair, very Italian, and that's what they were looking for. So kudos to bringing that to daytime. Not everybody has to have blonde hair and blue eyes to make it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with blue eyes and blonde hair.
Now I have them, but, you know.
Yeah.
I have them.
You see, I don't have them, but I admire them.
But when everybody has them, your eye naturally gravitates to the one that stands out. And that's,
exactly.
That's certainly the category you fell into.
But what I, well, thank you. And to give Jews where it's supposed to be, I think that Agnes Nixon was in the coup then, and the writers then loved to create the character of Jeremy Hunter, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At the beginning, you know, wasn't sure what he was. They told me he's an ex-mercenary who had become a monk to atone for his sins. He had also the gift of levitation. He could, you remember when he used his cookie, he could just focus on someone and he knew what they were thinking. It was amazing to do, and it was amazing to play with it without by making it real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at some point it was on the verge of being ridiculous, but it never was. And
right.
They were very, very careful on how they were writing it. And we began to have conversations about the character, you know. For example, I was French Canadian first and foremost. I said, well, there's an accent here. I mean, there's not much I can do about it. I mean, but let's play with it. So instead of having him coming from England or something, making him from Canada. I mean, or you have an enormous amount of millions of viewers in Canada. And it would be easier. And they loved that, and they adopted that. And
right.
So on and so forth, you know. And the way Jeremy would think, I would sometimes rephrase things and says, well, I think he would basically talk more this way. Jeremy was never judgmental. He always found something good about a person, you know. And that was his forte.
Right.
Out of that came, I would say, hundreds and almost thousands of letters of women, men, who said, I'd like you to be my brother, I'd like you to be my husband, I'd like you to be my son. You have brought some freshness in our lives. or we were going through a similar problem in our family and you brought a solution. Thank you. That for me was so rewarding to say, you know, with I am doing my craft, it is not even my words, but by my persuasion through the lens, I managed to touch people. I thought it was absolutely extraordinary to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's really great. You know, in things like theater and you know, a live setting, you get an instant reaction from the audience. But in a medium like television or film, you kind of do it in a vacuum a little bit, and you never know quite how you're touching people, where you're touching people, when you're touching people. And so it's
absolutely not, because it's first of all, by the time it's taped, you can't hardly remember. It was done 2 weeks, 3 weeks ahead. We're three weeks ahead of you. So, oh yeah. In your story, I'm only just about to jump in the train. But in what I'm taping, I'm out of the train since a week.
Right. It's quite miraculous that any good work gets done in the medium, because you know it's all written, you know, 6 months ago, and
exactly.
It's kind of all disconnected how it comes together, and it's miraculous that it does come together at all.
It is absolutely amazing. I've always said that small miracles happen every day on those sets. It's amazing what they managed to do. No, truly.
You know, Jean, you were definitely, I mean, let's face it, a hot commodity on the show, a total sex symbol. Did you have any crazy fan encounters with women?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not pleasant to have his shirt tear from your body on Park Avenue and 70th Street at lunchtime by a group of six women who are totally hysterical because they have Jeremy Hunt in front of them. You feel so, first of all, you're so humiliated, it's so embarrassing, because they are the other people who don't watch All My Children. You say,
right.
What the hell is he? Who is he? And what are they doing to him? That was not funny. Another place, I must say that most of the time, if you remember, during my time, I was doing a lot of personal appearances across the country.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, and I love to meet the people. But in one instance, and possibly it was my fault, and for that I will say humbly I apologize, but it was those days where we were wearing those kind of jeans made out of leather. So
yes.
I had a very, very sexy pair of black leather pants, cowboy boots, and an open shirt. And I was taken to the podium, and I had six bodyguards. Now, you would think that I would be in the middle, but these guys were so nervous because there was thousands of people. I think it was 12,000 people. So that the six of them were walking in front of me.
Oh, my
God.
And
I was behind by myself. And I was grabbed from the back, in the ass. I was thrown on the floor, and I almost lost it all. It hurt so much.
Oh.
That I didn't think it was
crazy fan.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on, give me a fucking break. I mean, I'm suffocating here. But these are the only time that it was embarrassing. The other moment that I think was bizarre, to me it was immensely bizarre, so I was in, do you like those stories?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I was in Alabama, and you know, you meet a lot of people, so basically what you do is you shake hands, and you sign an autograph, what's your name, please, okay, and you know, you say to Johanne, love always, Jeremy, whatever, and you hand the picture to the lady, and you look, I do that, I looked everybody in the eye, and I smile. Well, that lady thought she had received a message from me. Well, it's true. And the appearance occurred over the weekend. I think it was a Saturday. And the Monday morning, Monday afternoon, actually, I was at ABC 66th Street taping, and the guard of the entrance called upstairs and asked for me. And I came on the phone, and she said, there's a lady here who says that she had received a message from you to come and join you. I said, well, not today. I'm taping. I don't know what you're talking about. And basically, this woman was put on the phone, and she had left her husband and I explained to him that her life was to be with Jeremy Hunter, and she had created this havoc in her life. And I thought it was extremely sad, because I said, ma'am, excuse me, but Jeremy Hunter does not exist. He's a character, and I am not like Jeremy. Now, she said, but I left him now, and he's very upset. If I took the plane, and here I am. I said, well,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah? You should take the plane back, and I will call your husband, if you care to give me his phone number, and I will explain that he should come and pick you up at the airport, because it's a major misunderstanding. I am extremely flattered, but Jeremy does not exist. You have to understand that. She says, but the way you look at me in my eyes. I said, well, maybe that's just the way I look at people. I'm
Wow. Sorry.
Incredible. Incredible.
That is amazing.
But what I also discovered is how many people are sad in their lives. I remember at one promotion that I was doing, and a lady came to the microphone holding a man by the hand, and she, in front of all these people, she says, where were you when I had to marry that? And pointed to the husband next to her.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, oh, what do you answer to that? But I also discovered that it is a great way of escapism for a hell of a lot of people who are not in main cities but in small towns, and who are most of the time by themselves. And I think that the daytime bring on a day-to-day basis some some change, some breath air, some evasion, some dream that they sometimes don't have in their own life.
Mm-hmm.
That's truly the beauty of what the daytime soap is. And I hope it'll never go because of that.
Right. Well, that's just, it's amazing to hear those stories. And it's what's more, even more amazing is that this hour is already up. And you're just going to have to agree to come back and hang out with me some more, because we could keep you on the phone all night.
Well, that's amazing.
No kidding.
Guys, you've been wonderful.
Oh,
so
you
have
you.
Been wonderful.
Well, thank you, John.
It's been such a treat to talk to someone like you who has so much knowledge and is so open and just pleasant. It's wonderful. It's really wonderful, and I definitely want to have you come back on the show. Before I let you go, though, can I get you to do a little promotion for the show?
Oh, yes.
So you can say it however you choose. You know, this is Jean Leclerc on Stardish Radio, whichever way you want to do it.
About the Stardish Radio, that's all, huh?
Yep.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. You do whenever you're ready.
Hi, my name is Jean Leclerc. I used to play all great Jeremy Hunter on All My Children, and you are listening to Stardish Radio. Keep on tuning.
Wonderful. Jean, thank you so much for calling in, and I'm definitely going to get in touch with you to come back. And matter of fact, pass the word along to your buddy Kate Collins and tell her to give me a call. Love to have her on. All right, sweetheart, you have a great night.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you.
Everybody.
Bye, Jean.
Bye, guys.
Everyone, come back at 10 p.m. for Gregory J. Martin, film director of the Manhattanites. We'll start that at 10 p.m. Talk to you in a little bit. Have a great break.
All right. See you in 30. Hi, this is Julia Barr on Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Katie McClain, and I'm on Stardish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hey, this is Sydney Penny, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Stay tuned.